Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So ahead of our discussion with David Marler and our guest co-host, Kurt Collins, I was reading the other day about the death of someone who's had a connection in the UFO field, Douglas Trumbull, the very famous special effects artist. He worked on 2001, A Space Odyssey, Star Trek, the motion picture. But really weird here is that in the 1980s, he kind of got out of the business because he was working on the film, I believe, called Brainwashed. And one of the stars, Natalie Wood, died in some kind of weird boating accident. I guess that freaked him out. You know, of course, there's a lot of questions one could have asked. But anyway, Douglas Trumbull is dead, I think, at the age of 79. Is that correct, Kurt?
That sounds about right. It's a huge loss. And so he was involved in some UFO research, photographic plan. Mark D'Antonio was in on that also. I think that may have stalled out, but you know, it was a great effort.
We had Mark on the PowerCast a few years back
on that project. That's one of many attempts over the years to photograph UFOs or detect them in some way. And of course, we've got some modern efforts of that, the Project Galileo. That's all I had to say on that. Now, let's get started with David. So when you were on the show last, we talked about, I wasn't on, it was with Chris O'Brien. That was way back in January 25th, 2015. And anyone that hasn't heard that show needs to go back because there was a lot of detail. You had just spoke about your book, Triangular UFOs, an estimate of the situation, and spent some time talking about kind of a tangential matters about your work as a hypnotherapist in treating sleep disorders, and you gave your opinion on abductions. So we, you know, anyone that wants to know more about that can go into that. But tell us a little bit about how you got into UFO research for the people that don't know you, and then that'll lead into what you're working on now.
Sure. Well, thanks, Kurt. Thanks, Gene, for letting me come back on the show. It's great. And actually, hopefully later we'll touch on this, but the timing is perfect because I've just done a huge addition to my historical research on triangular UFOs. But to answer your question, and to kind of segue back to Douglas Trumbull, you know, I grew up in the 1970s. I was born in 1968. And when I was 5 years old, I vividly remember the first time I heard the term UFO. And it was back in 1973, which, of course, was a pivotal year, as we know, and most of your audience knows, with regard to UFO sightings across North America. And one particular area was in southeast Missouri called Piedmont, Missouri. And there was a wave of UFO sightings in that area. My father grew up there. And ironically enough, years later, he moved to St. Louis. But the sightings were so prolific that it had really garnered a lot of media attention in the St. Louis market, both in newspapers as well as TV news. And so my father, my brothers, my older sister were piling in the car on weekends in the spring and summer of that year to go down to Piedmont to look for UFOs, as many people were doing from the St. Louis area. The media coverage really fueled a lot of people's curiosity with regard to the subject. In 73, I remember hearing the term UFO. I remember the excitement of my family piling in the old Chevy to go down to Piedmont to look for UFOs. They never came back with any UFO reports of their own. But my father's aunt and uncle and many of the people that he grew up with had had sightings. In fact, the initial primary witness, as we all know, when you have a wave or a flap of UFO sightings, it starts with one initial sighting. And the initial sighting was by the local basketball team and the basketball coach, whose name was Reggie Bone. And my father was best friends with Reggie growing up in the Piedmont area back in the day. And I remember my dad saying, if Reggie said he saw something, you can take it to the bank. And it was true because Reggie was a pillar of the community, very well respected. It was a series of sightings in 73 that really served as my introduction to the UFO subject, hearing about it, albeit secondhand, of course. Fast forward 4 years after that, in 1977, my sister and her husband had a close encounter with a UFO just outside Kansas City, Missouri. I hate to say it, it sounds so cliche, especially as we evoke the name of Douglas Trumbull with close encounters, but they literally had a spotlight shine down on their car, much like Richard Dreyfuss had, although not the dramatic Hollywood effects that we saw in the movie, but they did have this silent object hovering over their car. It bathed the vehicle in light, and just as soon as the light turned on, the light switched off like you flipped a light switch. To this day, my sister, when you ask her about that sighting, I've seen this time and time again where she'll be relaying the details, and you can see goosebumps decades after the event. She still has goosebumps that'll form on her arms when she's talking to you about it. So that was another event that really kind of served to solidify my interest in the subject. And then quite literally the next year, 1978, north of St. Louis, there was a wave of UFO sightings, or a flap, if you will, UFO sightings, and in this case, also cattle mutilations. And ironically enough, years later, as I got actively involved in the subject, starting in 1990 with MUFON, I became friends, actually connected with the city marshal that was in charge back then and who was the epicenter of receiving all these UFO reports and cattle mutilation reports. And to this day, we still keep in touch, which is a long enduring friendship as a result of his interest in the subject as well as mine.
Just parenthetically, because it's not going to be the main focus, with regard to cattle mutilations, and as our listeners know, one of our former co-hosts, Chris O'Brien, was one of the foremost experts on the subject. Do you have a feeling, David, as to what's responsible there?
Oh, well, I think this probably echoes Chris's statements on the matter. I think you're dealing with a mix of things. Contrary to famous names like Linda Moulton Howe that want to relegate it all to extraterrestrials, I'm quite the opposite. And I don't say that arbitrarily. When I moved 10 years ago here to New Mexico, I became friends with the son of Gabe Valdez, Greg Valdez. I know that I believe he and Chris have talked, and certainly Chris knew his late father. But going through Gabe's notes and talking to Greg, I defer to their judgment because they spent years in the field collecting these reports, at least within the confines of the state of New Mexico. I can't speak to some of the other areas that have had this. But specific to New Mexico, it was Gabe's determination that these were military black ops, and they were engaged in chemical and biological weapons testing, as well as looking at radioactive fallout as a result of a thing called Project Gas Buggy, where a nuclear device was detonated underground to ostensibly to release natural gas reserves. But so there's a lot of different angles. But of course, there are those highly anomalous mutilations that fall into the high strangeness category that are really bizarre in many respects. And again, I would defer to Chris because he's the expert on the subject. But, you know, unfortunately, what we deal with in this UFO field, and Gene, I think, and Kurt, you probably agree, we deal with belief systems. And as I'm in the process of putting together a new lecture for 2022, hopefully in person after the last couple of years being remote and virtual, but we have to divorce ourselves from our beliefs regarding the UFO subject unless it's predicated on facts and information and data. So many people in the UFO field, the ones I would call UFO enthusiasts, not true researchers, develop these ideologies, these beliefs, and they have these sacred cornerstones. For example, if you dare question Roswell, that maybe Roswell was something other than an extraterrestrial craft, you know, it's the equivalent of they want to cast stones at you for heresy.
Well, I must be getting a lot of stones because I've questioned Roswell, as has Kurt, so we are both inundated.
Absolutely. And, you know, along with Roswell, of course, MJ-12, which, in my opinion, is thoroughly debunked if anyone looks back at the history of how MJ-12 developed, and they look at Bob Pratt, and they look at Bill Moore and Richard Doty. If you follow the chain of evidence, if you follow the story back to the original source with many of these belief systems, you find that they're highly questionable at best. So I don't try to fall into down that rabbit hole of belief with regard to many of the central tenets of the UFO mythology, if I can call it that.
Before we go into more rabbit holes, we've got David Marler and Kurt Collins and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Seven million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
David Marler joining us, of course. He has been doing lots of studies into triangular UFOs, and we mentioned Gabe and Greg Valdez. And the son was a guest on the Paracast back August 4th, 2013. So we've got lots of good stuff in our archives, theparacast.com. They won't let that URL appear on Facebook, but I also understand that Tim Beckley, the late Tim Beckley, and Tim Swartz's site, conspiracyjournal.com, is not allowed either. Isn't that weird? So that's called They Don't Want You to Have the Truth. Seriously speaking, I'm looking here at one thing about your bio that's interesting. It says you've got this huge personal library of UFO material.
Yeah, that started in 1990 when I first got involved in UFO research. You know, Gene, it's rather naive to tell you the story now, and Kurt, because looking back on it, in 1990 when I first got involved in UFOs, I naively thought, well, I'll just go to the local library and check out books on the subject. And after two or three or four or five visits to all the area libraries, I was shocked and dismayed to find that there were virtually few, if any, books on the UFO subject in the local libraries. Of course, at that time, the internet was in its infancy, and I was slowly, steadily starting to collect little bits of history, little bits of information. And then, you know, fast forward 32 years later, I have a new addition I put onto the home in the last 3 to 4 years to accommodate this burgeoning collection of UFO history. I will tell you, as I'm sitting here now speaking with you, just recently in the last year, I was asked to join the board of the Center for UFO Studies as their official archivist. And so, quite literally, sitting to my right here in the research room, I have 15 four- and five-drawer file cabinets of the world's largest historical UFO case file collection, including the personal files, blue book files of Dr. J. Allen Hynek, which are very insightful. But in addition to that, I have a comprehensive library of audio recordings. In the last year, I just digitized 221 vintage reel-to-reel recordings, and some of those are available on my website to listen to. But those were recorded courtesy of Rod Dyke, who's an archivist and collector who's been in the field for many years. Rod donated those to the collection when he found out I had the NICAP KUFOS case files here, and these audio tapes belong to NICAP. So after decades of separation, we were able to reunite those and bring those together. In addition to that, I received a number of other donations over the years from other researchers. Jan Aldridge donated over 160 reels of microfilm. These contain news clippings, government documents dating back to World War II. Through the very generous donation of a benefactor about 2 years ago, we were able to secure a microfilm digitization machine. Slowly but surely, we're working on those microfilms to digitize those, as we are with the case files and the audio recordings, with the ultimate goal to have those digitally available online for free, no charge, and really allow worldwide researchers to have access to that material. There's a wealth of history, and I try to educate my audiences when I do lectures across the country. There is no shortage of UFO data, I'm here to tell you. What's interesting is it's a fascinating trend, and I was just talking to someone in Colorado about this, that we have organizations like MUFON and others across the globe that collect these files. And I don't mean to be disparaging regarding their efforts, but why collect another 1,000 case files when you have 75 years worth of case files that most people aren't doing anything with? Quite literally, this year marks the 75th anniversary of the term flying saucer, the modern era of UFO research. And so 7.5 decades worth of UFO material is at our disposal. And so the goal ultimately is to gather it, scan it, and make it available to a wider audience. Because as you both know, and your audience knows, in just the last 2 years, we've had a lot of people starting to flood this field that, you know, previously never gave the UFO subject a second thought.
You know, it's interesting here in terms of UFO files and records. Last I heard, the APRO files were still left in somebody's garage in a bunch of file cabinets and nothing was done with it. Any updates on that?
No updates other than I will share with you, there are two people principally that were involved in getting those files from APRO after Jim and Coral Lorenzen died. I was informed through my friend and colleague Philip Mantle in the UK that he had been in touch with one of the owners of the files, and the second owner, a woman by the name of Tina Choate, actually passed away a number of months ago. So it's down to the one owner now, not two, but just one individual. I've attempted to reach out to that person. I've shared the contact information with a number of other researchers. In fact, I mentioned Colorado. I had a researcher from Colorado just last week inquire about it. And I said, you know, here's the information. If you can have better luck than myself, then good luck. But ideally, Gene, that is kind of the holy grail of UFO history. It would be wonderful if we could get those files in conjunction with the NICAP files and the KUFOS files. You know, what an amazing amount of data sets that we would have at our disposal.
I wanted to give the listeners an example of some of the things. So you've been working with Barry Greenwood, and I asked him about a case that I was writing about, the Carol Wayne Watts case, because I knew he had been in contact with Dr. Hynek, Dr. Mm-hmm. J. Arnold Hynek. So you guys produced this packet of information, and I had tons of things, newspaper clippings and photos. So what you guys sent me was amazing. There was, first of all, rare clippings that I hadn't seen. There was, and more importantly, there was correspondence between the witness and Dr. Hynek, and a copy of Hynek's file, a copy of the Blue Book file with his handwritten notes on it.
Yes.
Let's see. And then there was an audio tape, interview, a phone call between the witness. And so this was just incredible that all this raw data on the case that was not available anywhere else. And that's, I'm sure that's just one of probably thousands of examples of what's out there.
Oh, absolutely, Kurt. And I'm really glad you brought that up because we haven't really had a chance to talk in person since we got that data to you. But I have to tell you that beyond collecting the material, I get the biggest joy out of sharing from one researcher to another information, because I know what it's like when you're doing an investigation and you're researching these historical cases. You know, there aren't many areas that you can mine for data. And when you do find those little nuggets of information and insight, it's just a joy. And again, I say that as one researcher to another. I know what it's like when you have that eureka moment, when you find new information. And I have to tell you that as a result of your request, I stumbled across those reel-to-reels in the file. Those had never been digitized before, but at your request for information, I pulled the file and found those reels sitting in there, and so I was able to digitize those for the first time. And the beautiful thing is, when I get requests like this, and I probably average one request per week on average. Some weeks I get two, some weeks I get none, but on average I probably get one data request a week that either comes directly through KUFOS or directly to myself. And, you know, the nice thing is when we digitize that for you, for example, we now have it digitized for others if other interested parties are wanting that. So I'm just so glad that we were able to help you in your research efforts in that regard.
Oh, well, that's great.
Let's break it here and we'll get into that. We have Kurt and Dave and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Russia is getting closer to Ukraine's capital, Kyiv. The Pope has called Ukrainian President Zelensky. He says he welcomes an offer from Turkey to broker peace talks and says, through an interpreter,
our main objective is to end this carnage. The losses of the enemy are very serious. There are hundreds of dead soldiers who crossed our border, who came to our land. Unfortunately, we have losses too.
Military analyst Jack Watling warns Russia plans to circle the capital and then attack.
If we start seeing rolling lines of thermobaric rocket launchers coming up, then, you know, we're going to see mass civilian casualties.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken authorized $350 million to help Ukraine fend off the Russians. This is USA Radio News. President Biden's nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, introduced herself to the nation on Friday. She would be the first African-American woman on the high court, if confirmed.
I can only hope that my life and career, my love of this country and the Constitution, and my commitment to upholding the rule of law and the sacred principles upon which this great nation was founded will inspire future generations of Americans.
Forecasters say an Arctic front projected to swing down from Canada into the Northeast will bring another round of snow showers on Sunday. Weathermen say the snow showers are likely to develop across northern and central Michigan before transitioning eastward into New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine. The strong front is expected to ramp up windy conditions across the Northeast. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Kirk Collins was about to ask a question of our guest. Go ahead, please.
Well, David, earlier you were talking about all the new people that have become interested. And one of the things that having these files does is to see that some of the, I think the phrase is institutional knowledge is shared. And, you know, there's so many. Well, you know, in the business world, you always have people retiring and everything. And while UFO researchers do tend to stick around past retirement age, typically, you know, they're mortal. We're losing them. So this having this preserved and shared is so important. Tell us a little bit about who you're working with and what are some of the surprises you found in these files?
Sure. Man, where to start? There's so much. Well, as you mentioned, I've been working very closely with Barry Greenwood, who has always been a mentor to me. And now I'm happy to say he's not only a colleague, but a dear friend, as well as Jan Aldrich. And I think, you know, anybody would agree that Barry and Jan are probably the leading historians on the UFO subject. I mean, they've been doing this decades before this guy ever came along into the subject. And so I remember following their writing, Barry Greenwood's book, of course, Clear Intent, was just, to me, still is one of the landmark books on the subject, backed up with official documentation, etc. But in September, I was very happy to have Barry and Jan come out to my home here in Albuquerque. And my wife and I put Barry and Jan up here at the house. They quite literally were live-in researchers for 2 straight weeks. And so, obviously, from a research standpoint, that's great. But just to have that personal camaraderie is also fascinating, the conversations we have over the dinner table and things like that. Barry has been scanning documents for quite a few years. But having them here now in a home environment is really affording him an opportunity to come and scan quite a bit. Between Jan and Barry, just to give you some insight into that, in 2 weeks they scanned 33,000 pages of documents. I mean, they quite literally would get up in the morning, get their coffee, start scanning, taking staples out, paper clips, etc., scanning material. And I do want to mention that I have been fortunate to have a few financial benefactors, and there was a very generous man who really was pivotal to us getting this work done. He donated $6,500 to allow us to buy a commercial grade scanner as well as the microfilm scanner that I alluded to earlier. And so it's not without these contributions that we can try to get a lot of this work done. And then in addition to that, I mentioned Rod Dyke, who's donated these audio recordings, and I am awaiting 2 to 3 more large boxes of vintage historical recordings, which I'll be digitizing. My research room, if I can try to describe it, we have a huge conference table. We have about 36 file cabinets. On one side, we have 10 bookcases lining the wall, almost floor to ceiling, with just books and periodicals. And then we're also in the process this spring of basically taking over our garage. My wife and I are going to be losing our garage, and we're converting that into 323 additional square feet of archival storage space. And before I forget, one of the principal reasons we're doing this is Philip Mantle in the UK is donating his extensive 45-year collection of case files to us. I recently spoke with Philip, and I said, I'm just trying to quantify how much material are we talking. He said, well, it'll be a pallet of paperwork. So it's going to be a sizable collection coming from the UK that will have, you know, not only British, but obviously other European files regarding UFO sightings. So we're really excited. I always like to say that the collection is in a constant state of flux. It's not a static collection. Another thing, before I forget, someone else that I've been in collaboration with who is not really within the domain of the UFO research field, I have an extraordinary working relationship with the University of New Mexico here in Albuquerque. And I actually presented to them several years ago about my research and the subject matter. And, of course, this was before 2017, before we really started seeing that erosion of skepticism on the part of many institutions. And they were fascinated by the material that I was sharing with them. And long story short, I entered into a legal deed of gift. So when I pass away, and Kurt, you alluded to, you know, older researchers passing away and their data getting lost. When I pass away, the University of New Mexico will take this entire collection and maintain it for perpetuity at the university for the general public and academics and scholars to come and do research. So whatever material that I gather here will ultimately be preserved in a university setting. And I was lucky enough to be asked to speak at the university on the UFO subject, which is an opportunity not afforded to many people. We had about 150 people that attended, teachers, general public, had a number of police officers from Albuquerque that attended, and we even had a little gallery display of select items from my collection that were on display so people could get an appreciation for it. As far as surprises along the way, I was actually on the phone, this is about 8 months ago, or 9 months ago now, with Barry and Jan. And they will call me periodically saying, hey, I'm trying to find information on this case from 1960 or 1958. And so I'll put them on speakerphone and run over to the files, what I call the archive section, and try to find any information I can, you know, much like your request, Kurt. You know, I'll run over to the files and see what I can locate. And in this particular instance, Barry Greenwood was looking for a UFO case file from the Yukon Territory from October 1950. They're talking about it. And I said, gentlemen, you keep talking. I'm going to put you on speaker, and I'm going to go over to the file and start rummaging through these files while you're chatting. And as I'm going through one of the many files for October 1950, I stumbled across a NICAP report form. It's one of those weird synchronicities where if anybody else would have looked at this form, they wouldn't have given it a second thought. But the witness name caught my attention. The witness name was Hulon, H-U-L-O-N, Pace, P-A-C-E. Obviously not a common name. It's not Joe Smith or Bill Brown. So the name was Hulon Pace. Based on my research of the Farmington Flying Saucer Armada from March 1950, I recognize the name because about 6 years ago, I filed a FOIA request for unredacted Air Force Office of Special Investigations files specific to the Farmington Flying Saucer Armada. One of the names that was unredacted was Hulon Pace. So I then proceed to pull the file out, and as I'm looking at it, it is relating in detail and location the sighting that occurred in March of 1950. However, it was filed under October 1950. Ironically enough, as I continued to scan the document, the witness told the investigators when he was being interviewed, and the interview was conducted, I believe, in 1967, so the report form was from 67. He told the interviewers that the sighting happened in October 1950. But again, clearly, all of the details lined up. It was clearly March 1950. And for any investigators or researchers listening, and Kurt, you, or Gene, you may have dealt with this yourself, quite often witnesses years after the fact won't remember the exact month or maybe even the year. But they'll remember something as personal as, well, I remember I was wearing that my favorite leather jacket. So it had to be pretty cold. So it had to be spring or fall or maybe even winter. And so I think it's one of those situations where the witness thought it was fall of 1950 when in fact it was March. What's unique about this discovery, we're talking about a case from 1950. Despite the interviews, despite the news clippings and other information that I've gathered on the subject, even going to the James McDonald archives to get his personal notes on his investigations, we did not have one eyewitness sketch of the actual UFOs that were observed on those 3 days. In this case file, we have sketches of the objects. We have a map showing the direction that they flew in, how they had a quote-unquote dogfight over the city, and then it shows the direction that they departed. In addition to that, again, after 70-plus years, we have two or three additional eyewitness names that were not part of the historical record.
That's so interesting there that it sometimes takes coordinating a number of separate reports to get a full picture on a specific event. By the way, for our listeners' attention, Barry Greenwood appeared on the Paracast on our October 3rd, 2021 episode. Our guest co-host then is now Kurt Collins. David Marler joins us. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Interesting there on the phone, finding something, information that was not recorded in other reports. How does one coordinate all this? You were lucky, if anything else, well, David. Obviously, there's a lot more out there like that where there's 10 different reports, and if you coordinate them all, you get a very big picture of a sighting.
Absolutely, Gene. And in fact, I'd like to say, chalk it up to me being a good researcher, but to be quite honest with you and your audience, I think it's 50% that and 50% dumb luck in some cases. You know, sometimes you just happen to fall on something. But this is what's interesting is Barry and Jan and I were talking. We try to enlist local help to assist us with the archiving efforts. But the problem is you just can't have anybody coming in here without having some fundamental working knowledge of the material. Again, if it wasn't for the fact that I had done this detailed research on Farmington, if anyone else looked at that name, it wouldn't have registered. But it immediately clicked in my brain, and I pulled that file out, and I was able to make that connection. But it does demonstrate. Many people quite often will say, well, you know, there's always the cynics out there, right, especially in ufology. Well, you know, why are we investigating these old cases? They're decades old. For the mere fact that even decades later, we can get new insights into some of these cases with these discoveries going through the historical data. Another example, I've done extensive research on the Battle of L.A. incident. That one was a fascinating case in that, in addition to being a historian and a researcher, I'm also a collector. I like to have original historical items. And ironically enough, on eBay, where quite often I find some of these things periodically, there was an original photograph of that famous image of an object in the convergence of searchlights being peppered with anti-aircraft fire. The individual in question was showing pictures of the photo, but also the reverse, showing the original news teletype glued to the back. And having done historical research now for over 30 years, I have many different types of news service wire photos. So I know the earmarks, the ownership stamps to look for, etc. And clearly this was the real deal. Luckily, I won the bid on this. But this is an example where being a collector and being a researcher come together. I received the photograph and I was elated. And in fact, it's hanging up here in the research room. But this led to dialogue, as you can imagine, with the seller. My first question, first and foremost, where did you get this photograph? Well, emails led to phone calls, which led to Skype calls, video calls. The gentleman was a very nice man who lives in, I believe it's Woodlawn Hills, California. I believe it's a suburb of Los Angeles. He told me that he and his wife on weekends will go to area rummage sales and estate sales. And his wife wanted to go to this one, which is only, I think he said, about 3 miles from where they lived. So, you know, in the immediate vicinity. And his wife was looking in the front yard at some of this merchandise that was for sale. He was rather bored, and his attention was drawn to a large 6-foot-long folding table sitting in the front yard with merchandise on top. But then his attention was drawn to these two large file boxes sitting on the ground underneath this table. He crouches down, and he starts flipping through these obviously aged file folders. And each file folder had a separate 8x10 glossy black and white photograph. And on the reverse, much like the photograph I purchased, were the original news teletypes, dated and stamped and everything. He noticed that one young lady seemed to be kind of running the show. And so he said, you know, ma'am, if you don't mind me asking, where did you get these boxes and these photographs? Naively enough, she said, oh, those belong to my grandfather. He was a photographer with the Associated Press. And as best as we can ascertain, this was his personal portfolio of photographs he took over about a 30-40 year period working for the Associated Press. After that, I was able to get in touch with the family. They provided ample evidence of press pins, photographs of the grandfather who had passed away, I believe, in the 1966, I believe, at a very old age. But they showed photographs of him with his camera in the Los Angeles area. I was able to receive documents showing where his studio was in Hollywood, California. And then having the name, I started doing an internet search, and I only found two or three hits on the internet, but one of them was extremely interesting. It showed a photograph, and your audience may be able to even Google this and look it up if it's still online. It was a photograph of Japanese citizens being rounded up in Los Angeles in early February 1942. This was just approximately 2 weeks before the Battle of LA incident. So in addition to having these photographs, which included the famous Battle of LA photo, we have information that he had a studio in Hollywood, California, and we have historical documentation. He was in Los Angeles 2 weeks prior to the Battle of LA incident. Of course, he lived and worked there, so it's no surprise he took photographs from that time period. But long story short, everyone's enamored with that mysterious photograph that's become the centerpiece of the Battle of LA, but hardly anyone's ever asked the question, well, who took it? Well, based on my research, I'm 95% certain that the gentleman's name was Ira W. Goldner. And he was the one that I believe took the famous photograph based on the fact we found an original photograph stamped and dated February 25th, 1942, with the original teletype connected to it.
Wow, that's amazing that you not only got that, but were able to track all that down. And yeah, so there aren't too many artifacts like that, you know, we can trace and know the history of and things like that. You know, there's so, you know, so many of the things we have are like, okay, here's a piece of a UFO, but where did it come from? I mean, is there any real history to it? You know, so this is, you know, the next best thing. You know where this came from. I wanted to ask about, we were talking about the news and how things changed. So word came that a prominent Canadian figure in the disclosure movement has released a statement citing that the U.S. government's legislation to approve UAP investigation. He says that progress since 2017 made by people like Chris Mellon, Luis Elizondo, The New York Times, scientist Avi Loeb, and many others has rendered traditional investigation of UFOs redundant. So, David, what are you going to do with all your free time?
Well, I would have to politely disagree with that statement for a number of reasons. And one being what's sitting here next to me. Many of these UFO reports over the decades were not submitted to Project Blue Book. Those reports and information went to civilian UFO investigative organizations. I would argue that even moving forward into the future, that may be a trend where people are going to be more willing to reach out to MUFON or to an independent local investigator as opposed to, you know, trying to communicate with the quote unquote government. But also I think it's rather naive to assume just because institutions are officially acknowledging that they're looking at the subject that they're going to share any data with us. And I don't say that arbitrarily. I've made the statement many times that we have these famous DOD videos that came out in roughly, 2017 after or 2018, around the time frame of the New York Times article. We still have yet to obtain one official page of documentation to support those videos or, better yet, any type of official government analyses of those photos. So, yes, they acknowledge the phenomenon is real. Yes, we know that they're actively looking at the subject. But I think it's naive to then assume that they're going to share information with us. And I think it's naive to assume that they're going to collect all the UFO data that's out there. And again, if the past is prologue, NICAP was collecting a lot of UFO case reports that, as far as we know, the government was unaware of. And I say that because I can compare and contrast the Project Blue Book files and other government files that have been declassified with some of these official NICAP report forms.
I also wonder here what kind of outreach Project Blue Book ever made to get sightings. They basically received them, followed them up in occasions where they couldn't debunk them, but didn't go out there. With the current UFO projects, and there have been four of them, it looks like, we had the first two that coincided with the New York Times article. We had the Pentagon UAP Task Force report. We now have number four with the 2022 military budget. But there has been no press conference, per se.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We have someone like Helene Cooper from the New York Times, their Pentagon correspondent. She covers the Pentagon beat. She frequently appears on cable news talking about what she does. But I don't hear a press conference where Helene Cooper is saying, well, what about this UFO research or UAP
right.
research? What are you guys doing about it? What are you guys doing about all these thousands and thousands of cases that have occurred over the years? Wouldn't exploring them, gathering them, help you figure out what's going on? Does it have to be 2004 and later? Big question. David Marler joining us. Of course, he has amazing amounts of UFO files to study triangular UFOs. With Kurt Collins, our special guest co-host, I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.